Well, good morning. How are you guys today? It has been a beautiful summer this year, hasn't it? The weather's been has turned to these nice and cooler days, and I literally spent almost the entire afternoon outside just sitting on my porch with God and just having a beautiful day. As I look out here, I'm seeing faces I haven't seen lately. Ruth, I am so glad you're here today. I'm so glad you're feeling better. Chris said it, and Pastor just got done doing it. We got to keep on praying. We got to keep on praying. Prayer is our foundation to this church, and if we stop praying, we're in trouble. And so, with Pastor's vision, he has a new vision for it, and it's praying deeper, reaching wider. How many of you guys are sometimes like get those words sort of mixed up in your head? You're sort of like, not like, oh, what was it? Well, I taught something to the kids. Peyton, where'd you go? Where'd she go? Where's she at? Oh, there you are. I thought you were going to be up here. Parker, do you remember it? Seth, do you guys remember what I taught you? Do you remember? They've been on vacation, so they may have forgotten. See, well, that's what happened. But this is it. Okay, I'm going to show you what it is. See, I thought the kids would do it to look a little bit better. I'll do it for you. But it's pray deeper, reach wider. Can you guys do that in your seats? Pray deeper, reach wider. Okay, that's how you remember it. Okay, so like a cross. Like, got it? Pray deeper, reach wider. And that's what we got to keep on doing. It was two Wednesdays ago when we had the opportunity to go across the street to Chanticleer. And Laura, she's sitting back there, she got to be in our group, and her and I sort of took our own kind of turn, and we just wanted to go over there and just pray over the people. We had a prayer meeting. It was our last one for until August. And we went over there, and we just wanted to pray with the people and just see what their needs were. And so we brought candy bars and wrapped them and put a little phrase on it. And it was a great night, right? Ann and Bill went with us. It was just a great night to be with our people across the way. And you never know who God is going to put in your path. You never know it. And Laura and I walked, and we weren't really running into anybody. And we met up with our team again, with Chris and Brian, and we were like, hey, you know, they had really, you know, got to talk to some people, and it was great. And then this one lady just walked out of her car, and we approached her, and you just never know. This lady had just been diagnosed with cancer. And for her, we were just that lifeline that day that she needed to hear the hope of Jesus, that Jesus heals. She needed to know about the character of God in that very moment. She needed to know that she can call upon Jesus for healing and to get her through this time in her life. And it was so wonderful to be the hands and feet of Jesus that day, to have the beautiful feet to share the good news. And today, as we dive into the book of Isaiah, it's a long book. It's 66 chapters. It takes a little bit more than a day to get through it. And I got through it. And I told God, you know, when you make a promise with God, you better keep it. Because he keeps his promises, you better keep your promises. So I took that journey with God, and over these last couple weeks, I started my journey with Linda. We prayed together as we began that journey, and she encouraged me, and through that, God was so faithful. But it was during this time that when I began to dive through it, you know, Isaiah is a prophet in the Old Testament, and a prophet is somebody that is a wise teacher, that God speaks through them. They do the will of God, and Isaiah's the book of Isaiah. It's the wrath of God, but it is also the deliverance. That song that Monty sung, "Jesus is my Savior." Is that what was the title of it? What a Savior. Oh, I mean, we're going to see that again. Be ready. I mean, that was an amazing, you know, like he asked me what we're, what I was preaching on today, and that was it. That was such an amazing song. And so as we go through this, I just pray, if you don't mind, I'm just going to pray quickly for us, that we just have our eyes and ears open for God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord, that you would, Lord, just come down, Holy Spirit, and just be with us in a very, very special way. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and open our ears, Lord, to what you need us to hear, Lord, that each of us need to put on our feet, Lord, and share the good news with others, Lord, that your words would be encouraging to us, Lord, to go out, Lord, just like the Czech Republic team is doing today. Lord, I pray that you would be with them in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that you would watch over and protect them, Lord. God, I pray that you would be with our kids, Lord, as they go to camp, Lord, that this is their theme, actually, for camp, too, is we're going to be sharing with the kids how to put their feet on and get ready to share the good news, Lord. And so God, I pray for our kids. I am so excited to be a counselor, to be with kids, to walk this journey with them, Lord. But today, in this moment, Lord, I pray that you would be with us. Let us just, Lord, I pray that each one of us, Lord, if I just want to be quiet for just a moment, each and every one of us, if you could just pray silently to yourself for that person on your right and to your left, if we could just be quiet for just a moment and just be still and just allow the Holy Spirit to work in this moment. We don't, in his wonderful, majestic way, if you can just pray for those individuals on your right and your left. Amen. As I said, the book of Isaiah is God's wrath, but it is also a beautiful book about God's deliverance. I know what you're probably thinking. How can you use the word beautiful with wrath? Well, we've got to dive into it, and we've got to see what God has for us to really see God in this moment. And so during this time, God was angry with his people. He uses the word angry in the scripture. And so Isaiah 5:22, Isaiah says, "This is why the Lord's anger burns against his people." Why was God so angry with Israel? Right off the bat in chapter 1, God tells Israel that their heads is injured and their hearts are sick. Those are the two things that he says in verse 5. This reminds me of the great commandment. We find in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew 22, verses 33 through 40, we find that, and this scripture is also in the Old Testament, but we find that the Pharisees are up to their old tricks again, stating that Jesus did not come there to obey the laws, but Jesus came to fulfill the laws. And so Jesus replied to them, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second one is equally important. We must love thy neighbor, even if they take the lawnmower and do an extra swipe in your yard that they didn't really mean to, but that's okay. Give them grace. That's what we're supposed to do." We finish by sharing that entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And those are the words of Jesus. Israel was not loving God with their whole heart. You see, their heart was sick, and they didn't love God with their mind, so their head was injured. They were very lost individuals during this time. In Isaiah 5:25, this is why the Lord's anger burns against his people and why he has raised his fists to crush him. Yes, these are strong words. But let me give you a visual of what they were carrying. You see, Isaiah gives the description in Isaiah 5:18 about a rope that was dragging behind them. He says, "What sorrow for those who drag their sins behind them with ropes made with lies, who drag wickedness behind them like a cart." They even mocked God by saying, "Hurry up and do something. We want to see what you can do. Let the Holy One of Israel carry out his plan, for we want to know what it is." Interesting that they were mocking God, because by this time, Israel was not confiding with God with any of their plans. They were not trusting God at all. By this time, Israel was not safe. Israel was being defeated by other nations time and time again. This is a much different time than when King David was reigning. They were building walls, actually, to protect them. They were actually even tearing down the houses so that they could use the stones from the houses to build up their walls even taller. They were tearing down their own things to make things safer. They were not confiding in God at all. In chapter 22, Isaiah writes a message about Jerusalem. The city is in disarray. He describes it as everyone is running to the rooftops. The city is in uproar. Isaiah is very, very sad to watch what is happening to Jerusalem. He wanted to be left alone to actually weep. He was that sad. In verse 4, he states, "Let me cry for my people as I watch them being destroyed." But they never asked God for help. Verse 11, "But you never asked for help from the one who did all of this. You never considered the one who planned this long ago." God is the one. He would have helped. He would have defeated the other nations along with Israel. But they never asked. People, if you want God to be invited into your plans of your life, you gotta invite God. It starts with prayer. God so desires to be in all of our lives. Kids, how many of you guys are changing schools or maybe going to middle school or high school? You gotta, Brian's like, "I'm out of here, I'm ready to start." You gotta invite God into that journey, into that school with you. High school kids that are going on to college, I have one. You got to invite God, Jack, to that transition. Kimmy, you got to invite God into this new journey that you guys are about ready to partake in. Young couples, they're wanting to get married. You got to ask God to be your foundation in your marriage. You got to ask God. You got to invite him into your marriage. Couples, that young couples that are married that want to have kids, you got to ask God to bless you with children. Couples that want more kids, where is Summer? You got to ask. You got to ask. You got to ask. You got to ask God to bless you with more. You got to. I got you, girl. Empty nesters. You got to invite God into your marriage for this next journey. Me and Brian, we're one of those. We're one of those. Empty nesters. 5 weeks. Empty nesters. Invite God into your marriage, into the next chapter. Parents that have lost children, you got to keep on praying. You got to keep on praying. You got to keep on praying. Keep asking. Keep praying. Whatever you go through in life, invite God to take the journey with you. Isaiah reminds us in chapter 26, 9, "All night long I search for you. In the morning I earnestly seek my God." Isaiah would start his day like this. Chapter 50, 40b, he gives us examples of how we should start our days. "Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will." Isaiah shares that the Lord gives him his words of wisdom. These words help him comfort the weary. Interesting how Chris and Pastor, the Spirit of Unity, that Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. You see, Isaiah knew he had to clothe himself to prepare himself to go out and reach those people that are weary, that have lost, that need comfort. We have to clothe ourselves. In the book of Isaiah, it talks about the armor of God. It isn't just in Ephesians. It's in Isaiah. We need to clothe ourselves. We need to put on our helmet of salvation. We need to put the sword in our hand. You guys got to start bringing your Bibles, because we're running out of Bibles in those pews. So you're going to have to start bringing your sword with you in the church. We got to have that belt of truth on. We've got to know what God's truth is. We've got to put that belt on. We got to put on those foot plates. We have got to put on our foot plates, because God needs us to be his witnesses. We need to be his witnesses. We already know who Jesus is, so let us be his witnesses. Let us put on the foot plates on so that we can go and share the good news. We need him. Isaiah continues these words by helping those who are weary. Prophets listen for the Lord to actually speak to them. Isaiah did that. Isaiah would have to get really quiet to listen to God. Yesterday, I was trying to find just the right spot to be with God, and I wanted this one spot, but I knew it was going to cost me to enter that area, and I don't want to pay that. And I just said, God, can you stir her heart to maybe let me in there? And sure enough, she's like, you know, I've got a little bit more of a quieter spot for you. Let me show you where this nice little lounge is. I go, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And that's where I sat. And Brian couldn't find me, but I found I had my little spot. He listens. We have to be quiet. He loved doing God's will, and Scripture even uses the word determined. He was determined to go out there. Could you imagine what Isaiah had to do in order to receive all the words that he was going to have to hear from God, to share to all those other nations, the messages that he was going to have to feed out to them? They were not nice words. They were words of doom for these nations. They were not good words. How do you think he prepared himself? How do you think he clothed himself? In many of the scripture references in Isaiah, they would reference Isaiah, son of Amos. Now, that was his father. Now, if you see that in Scripture, a lot of times what I read is that most likely his father was a prophet as well. So you see, he came from a line of prophets, Isaiah did. And so his father had taught him. Are we teaching our kids? Are we raising up the next generation for them to be clothed, for them to be determined to go out and share the good news? Are we that determined? Are we determined like Isaiah was? How determined are we to do God's will, not on our own? Do you know what God's will is? Isaiah actually broke it down in actually four things. Now, these are just four things that he had mentioned in Isaiah 1:17. One, learn to be good. Two, seek justice. Three, help the oppressed. Four, defend the cause of orphans. Five, fight for the rights of the widows. Doesn't this look like that's in line to what Chris was sharing about and how we need to be ready? We need to be ready to do God's will, to go out and comfort those that are hurting, to help the poor. We have many times, you guys have no idea how often we get to bless people in our community because you guys say yes to the power of one. The power of one is an area in our church where people give, and it allows for us to help those people in need in our community that have lost a job, that can't put gas in their cars, that gotta have medicine for their kids. They can't pay their rent or they're going to be homeless. You guys, you get to be a part of that in our community. Our church is known for that. Police officers tell people to come here. St. Vincent, an organization in our area, tells people to come here because we love to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. So thank you, church. We get to do that. This is a great start of doing God's will. Are we determined enough to get up and get in God's word first thing in the morning, just like Isaiah? I'll never forget the first time I heard that. That was Kathy Poliak. She used to go to our church, and her and her husband did the missions ministry here for many years. And it was one of the things that it was just, you know how your ears are open at a certain time? My ears were open that day when she said, "That's how you get it done. That's how you get in God's word every day. That's how you get to mark that and say, I got to sit with God today." Reading it first thing in the morning. Are we determined enough to sit quietly enough to listen? We have a lot of noise around us. Our phones, yep, I said it. It's our phones. What about Facebook? Yeah, I said that one too. Snapchat, I don't know it, but Snapchat, something like that. Other social medias. There are so many things that take away from our time. It's our busyness. Isaiah notes what's happening when our business and our lifestyles don't include God. Isaiah says, 5:12 says, "But they never think about the Lord or notice what he's doing." Let me read that one more time. "But they never think about the Lord or notice what he is doing." Yes, we can get to a point that we don't even notice what God is doing in our lives. Did he get here? Are you safely here today? Yeah, that's what God did today. Is God with us now? Yes. Wherever two or three are gathered, he is here. I say that to my oldest son. I remind him of that often. What more can we ask besides having the presence of God with us? What more could we ask for? The gift of God's presence with us. They forgot about God. That's what Israel forgot. They forgot. Remember, this is not the first time that Israel found themselves in this situation. This happened to them during the time that the Egyptians enslaved them as well. King Ahaz from Judah, he didn't listen to God. And when God asked him just a simple question during this time period, God had a plan all laid out. But see, King Ahaz had a choice to either answer God or not to answer God. And for some reason, he chose not to. And King Ahaz made it difficult. But the king, what God was asking, it was just really a simple question. It comes from chapter 7, verse 11. "Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation, Ahaz." That's all he asked right there. That's what it was. "Make it difficult as you want, as high as a heaven or as deep as the place of death." But the king refused. He told him no. He said, "I will not test the Lord like that." King Ahaz chose differently. He did not want to answer God's question. So God chose the answer for him. And guess what? Guess what? God reveals about the news of the Emmanuel. Let me read it. Chapter 7:14. "The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. "By this time, the child is old enough to choose what is right and reject what is wrong. He will be eating yogurt and honey. For before the child is that old, the lands of the two kings will fear so much will both be deserted." The other two kings, King Rezin of Syria and King Pekah, king of Israel, there was news that Syria had become the ally with Israel. They made King Ahaz very worried, but God didn't want him to worry. But see, what happens is that I started writing this sermon with the wrath of God. And I shared with you guys that the wrath was beautiful. And you see, I can write the word beautiful in this message because what God brings out of it is our Savior that we have today for each and every one of us. You see, God had a plan. He already knew that each and every one of us were in desperate need of a Savior, and God delivered to us a Savior. God's plan. The first reference in the book of Isaiah in chapter 4, when God promises restoration, verse 2, "But in that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. The fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of all who survive in Israel." The branch is the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. You see, there is hope in the Savior, hope for Israel, and hope for us today. You see, He, meaning Jesus, is the good news. The good news. Jesus is the good news that Israel has been waiting for. When you are captive day after day and waiting to be set free, those days can be very, very long. Anxiety steps in. Depression steps in. These are words that people back in the Old Testament days didn't know about, but they're words that we are very familiar with here today. People are enslaved today, maybe not by the Babylonians or the Egyptians, but they are enslaved in the sins of their life. You see, they are dragging the ropes of the lies that Satan tells them day after day. The fear that people have to live underneath. The things that are wrapped and twisted all around, just like a rope. When a rope is mated, it's twisted and everything. That's how Satan makes people feel, that things get twisted and turned upside down. I was recently listening to a podcast of Louis Giglio that a few years back that went into a time of anxiety for him. He had his first kind of like panic attack or whatever you want to call it. And how he had to sit day after day listening to the lies and how dark it can get in that place. But you see, he cried out. He cried out to his God and Savior. He had a song that he sang every single day to get him out closer and closer, closer to the light. Each and every one of us do, because we have a Savior that wants to shine His light on us, that wants us to come out of the hole and into the light with Him. Because you see, He wants to use our story for His glory. Do you think God used Israel's story for His glory? Absolutely, He did. It was Jesus. He used Israel's position to use to save us through Jesus. That's how God used Israel for His glory. That's how He used him for His glory. God wants to rescue us. God needs us to have heads that are not injured and hearts that are not hurting. He needs us to be His witnesses. I want to say that one more time. He needs us to be His witnesses. You see, we are His witnesses. You see, we aren't in the Old Testament. We've already seen, we already are the witnesses of Jesus. Jesus is already here. Jesus has already been on earth. Jesus already defeated death. Jesus already sits on the throne in heaven with His Father. You see, we are His witnesses. We see God working in our lives. How many of you have God working in your lives right now? How many of you guys have seen God pull you out of the holes in your life? How many of you guys have seen God work in your marriages? How many of you have seen a birth of a child? The miracle of a child that God has given you, that is a gift. Those are things that God is working in all of our lives. You see, we are His witnesses. Isaiah 43:10-11, "But you are my witness, O Lord, say the Lord, you are my servant. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There will never be any other." Verse 11, "I, yes, am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. That is who we are to God. We are his chosen one. He wants us to be his witnesses. For us to be his witnesses, we need to tell others who he is. We have to know what the character of God is. You see, God gave us these feet. In Scripture, in Isaiah 52:7, it reads, "How beautiful are the mountains on the feet of the messenger who brings the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns, God's deliverance for Jerusalem. God brings out of exile with the promise of the hope of the Savior, Jesus." Jesus is the answer. He was preparing him for a long time before this even happened. God was going to open up the heavens to pour out his righteousness and let the earth open up wide for salvation and righteousness so they could sprout out together. Isaiah 27:6, "The time is coming when Jacob's descendants will take root. Israel, will bud and blossom and fill the whole earth with fruit." We need more fruit. Israel's stump will be a holy seed, Isaiah 6:13. The surrounding nations around Israel were stumps like that. They needed to be leveled. Their countries were like Egypt and Syria and Philip and Moab and others and Damascus. You see, Israel was looking for these other countries to save them. But you see, there was only one person that could save them, and that was God. It actually goes, when you think about it, it actually goes all the way back to when the Israelites were asking for their own king, right? God wasn't enough. God is enough for each and every one of us. Isaiah 27:9, "The Lord did this to purge Israel's wickedness and to take all of their sin." Who was going to take away her sin? Jesus. Who was going to forgive Israel for their wickedness? God. God wanted to also to give them the gift of eternal life, the promise of Jesus. God has a message to give to Israel about Jesus. Jesus is the answer. You see, when I took this journey with God, when I was sitting quietly with God yesterday, there was a lady that came by and noticed that I had my Bible open, and she just asked a simple question, and she said, what are you studying? And I said, Isaiah. And she just looked at me, and she said, "Oh, that book, it just makes me cry and weep." And somebody else had asked her a question, so she sort of like stepped away, and as she stepped away, I sort of reflected back, and I'm like, yes, it is a powerful book. I've read this. I'm getting to the end of this. We're at almost getting close to 66 chapters. But I wanted to ask her, what was it that made her cry? What was it, what part of the book that made her cry? And I had one little second, because she's talking to other people and other people are saying other things. And I said, "Hey, what part made you cry?" And she just looked at me and she said, "It was God's wrath, but it was also the hope of Jesus." As she stepped away, I thought to myself, what part has made me cry? And I opened up my book, and Monty, if you could, I want us to read, if you guys can open up your pew Bibles in the front of you, page 559. This is what I opened up my Bible to. And it's chapter 53. In my notes in my book, I said, read and reread. This is a chapter about what Jesus did for all of us. And I want us just to read it and absorb what God has for each and every one of us. And what Jesus did for all of us. And these words are incredible words that God gave to Isaiah. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrow that weighted him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of all of us. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down from the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong, and had never deceived anyone. He had been buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was not the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. We're here, aren't we? We will enjoy a good life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all this is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experiences, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. For he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honor of a victorious soldier. I love it. Because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. Isaiah 53. God reminds us, do not be afraid. Do you know that fear is in the Bible 365 times? One for each one of our days to remind us not to live in fear. Cast all of your worries and anxieties unto him. Give it to him in prayer and petition. And he will give you peace that transcends all understanding. You see, in verse 8, it is when God's anger turns a little bit differently. But in everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. Everlasting love, love that will last forever. God, just as I swore in the time of Noah that I would never again flood the earth, now I swear that I will never again be angry and punish you. Remember how he started off, he was angry? He just made a promise that he won't be angry with us and he will never punish us. The mountains have moved and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love will remain forever. God's covenant with us. God's anger turned to his everlasting love for us. As we close, I pray that you guys would reflect and continue to reflect on just the book of Isaiah. Take a read this week. Take a journey with him. It was an amazing time that I sat with him, and I'm so thankful that I could share God's word with you guys this morning. And I think it would be very appropriate for us to just sing that last song that you guys sang. I think it's just a beautiful song of just a way to close our service today. If you guys could stand.